We're going to learn Daf Zayin in Masechtas Nedarim. The Gemara is still on the topic of Yadois, which is that you don't complete the sentence, but we already discussed whether or not it's obvious what I meant to say. That's a Machlekes Abaye and Rava, but for the most part, we're really just discussing if I don't complete the sentence, let's assume for argument's sake that I do understand what I'm trying to say, I just didn't say it completely, whether or not that concept works. So far, we saw the Gemara asked it about Kedushin, the Gemara asked about Peah, and right, so that's actually the two topics that we've already asked the question. So far, the Gemara actually has not answered whether or not Yad works. We just expressed why we have a suffix, whether or not, what the case would be, and whether or not Yad would work, the partial sentence. So that takes us right to the top of the Amud. We're going to start at the end of the line, on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Yesh Yad L'Tzadoko, Ein Yad L'Tzadoko. Is there a concept of a Yad for Tzedakah? When I make a promise, obviously if I make a promise that I'm going to give Tzedakah, then I have to keep my word. But if I didn't make the full promise, I didn't say the whole thing, does that count as if I made the full promise? So before the Gemara answers or attempts to answer that question, the Gemara wants to know, hey, Chidami, what would be the scenario that this would be at all relevant? Ilema, so if the case was the Omar, he says, Hadein Zuzo L'Tzedakah, Nami, that I have $2 in my hand, and I say this zuz should be tzedakah, and this one also, and I'm talking to the dollar itself. Ahut tzedakah atzmahi. That is, there's no question that is donating to tzedakah. The moment I use the word nami by definition means this also, and in the same way the first thing is. So if I say the same way, and in the first time I said it outright, I said it a complete sentence, then the second one is also the complete sentence, and there is no question about it that the second dollar would also be tzedakah. Elos, or rather the case would be, kagoyin d'omer hadein, Veloy Omar Nami. He just said, and this. So again, I have $2 and I say this dollar should be tzedakah, and the second one, and that's where I stop. And I don't say also, I just say and the second one. So the Gemara explains the question. This is similar to the question with Peah also, same type of question. My Hadein Nami Tzedakah Kamar. So do we finish the sentence and say, well, if the first one was tzedakah, so the second one also is meant to be tzedakah? Or Dilmor, maybe, my Vahadein. What does he mean when he says and this? That means he's just going to spend it. That I'm just going to use this money, but not necessarily as tzedakah. Vidiburahu, and it's just talk. Delayaske, and he just didn't finish his sentence what he was going to do with it. He meant to say, I'm going to use this dollar, but maybe it was to buy pizza. I don't know. He was going to do something with it. But doesn't necessarily have to be for tzedakah. So now that we have, so that is why this is in the category of yad. So now the Gemara can finally ask the question. Mi amrinan. So now that we know that it's a possibility that he didn't finish the sentence and it's not clear that it's tzedakah necessarily. So mi amrinan kivin de ishkus lekarbonos. Do we say, since the concept of tzedakah is similar, or there's a hekesh, to the parsha of karbonis? Now, we already know that the concept of yad applies to karbonis, because yad is, karbonis, is your classic example of a neder, and neder is where the parsha, the concept of yad, is introduced in the Torah, so then, and a karbon is a neder, as we said, so then, by karbonis, there certainly is yad. The question is whether tzedakah is out through the hekesh the same as karbonis. Tzev, why would we say that? What is the hekesh? The pasuk says, "Moitzes v'asecha tishmar." The pasuk. Now I'm reading the whole pasuk, not just the part that the Gemara quotes, but the whole pasuk says, "Moitzes v'asecha tishmar." You have to be careful with what comes out of your mouth. V'asisa kasher nedarto laHashem. You have to do what you promised. Elikecha. Nidova asher dibarto b'ficho, about the promises, the donations that you promised with your mouth. So the word b'ficho, what is the word b'ficho referring to? B'ficho zu tzedakah. So now back in our Gemara, darshan says that the word b'ficho is referring to the tzedakah. And the beginning of the parsha was the beginning of that pasuk was talking about fulfilling your promise to bring a carbon. And now we're saying the word b'ficho means tzedakah also. So we say So now the question is, do we make the comparison? Ma karbonos yesh lahem yad, and just like by karbonos, as we explained before, there definitely is the concept of yad. Av tzedaka yesh lo yad. So tzedaka also has the din yad, and the second dollar will also be a donation. Maybe it's only similar. We know there's some similarity to karbonos, and karbonos, also the classic issue with karbonos is that they have to be brought on time, and if you don't bring them on time, there's an issur about ta'achar. So to tzedakah also, maybe once I make the promise, and once it's a legitimate promise, I have to keep my promise, and it has to be given and donated within a certain time frame. In any event, the Gemara doesn't answer this question, leaves it open-ended, and we have the same shaila that we had before. Is there a concept of yad by tzedakah? Now the Gemara brings, yes. Now the Gemara is saying, okay, now that let's even this is, you have to add on all the mafarshim add in over here, there's like an imtim saloimer. If you want to say that the concept of yad does apply to tzedakah, let's say the hekesh is strong enough to apply to tzedakah, the Gemara takes it to the next level. Yesh yad lahefker. When I simply say I'm not giving it as a donation, I'm simply saying I'm making it hefker. I don't want to take rishus over this at all. So, but I didn't finish my sentence. Again, in that case, does that really become hefker or not? So the Gemara says, "Hainu tzedakah." It's really exactly the same thing as tzedakah. When I'm giving away my money, what difference does it make whether I'm giving it away to a particular person or giving it away generally? Why should that make a difference? It's the same concept. It's the same question. So the Gemara says, "You're right." Intim tzoloim arka omer. The way to read this is an intim tzoloim, and the Gemara spells it out. Intim tzoloim yesh yad letzedakah. The ain hekesh lemechta. If we want to say yes, we can apply the concept of yad by tzedakah. Because we know there is a hekesh, and once there's a hekesh, it has to go all the way, so it includes all the halachas, including yad. So now the question is, hefker mi amrinon hainu tzedakah. The question really just simply is hefker really the same thing as tzedakah or not? If it is, then the same rules apply. Idilma shani tzedakah, or maybe no, it's different, because the tzedakah lechasya elala aniyim. Tzedakah goes to aniyim, so it is tzedakah in the true sense of the word. Aval hefker, but hefker applies ben laniyim ben laashir. It applies to both rich and poor. So you're not really giving tzedakah. So to the extent that hefker is the same as tzedakah, we would say that the same rules should apply. But now that it also goes to ashirim, you're not really. So there's a lot of different ways to explain this Gemara. But this, let's just pick one. One way is that once you're including ashirim, it's not a donation. You're simply saying, I don't want to have jurisdiction. I don't want to control this piece of property. So the question really is, am I giving it away now and just waiting for someone else to pick it up? Or am I giving it conditional on, depending on who picks it up? There's different ways to explain it. But the point is that it's not really necessarily tzedakah. It could be tzedakah if an ani picks it up. And it could be even viewed as a donation. I'm donating it to the tzibur. I'm donating it to everybody. But the Gemara sees that as because of the fact that it includes rich and poor people, so then it's not really tzedakah, and if it's not really tzedakah, it's not the same as tzedakah. To the extent that it includes aniyim also, maybe it is to that degree the same as tzedakah, and maybe the yad should apply. So it's not, the Gemara basically is saying that it's not really a new question. The question by Hefker is really the same question as tzedakah. If it applies by tzedakah and you want to compare hefker to tzedakah, then it's the same rules are going to apply. And lastly, Boy Ravina asks one more question about this concept. Yesh yad lebeis hakisoy loy. Is there a yad when I want to designate an area to be a beis hakisoy? So now we know the halacha is, well, this is a question also whether we hold Zimun Milsahi or not, Hazmana Milsahi or not. But let's assume we're going, according to the Monte Amar, Hazmana Milsahi, which means if once I designate an area to be used as a Beis HaKisei, as a bathroom, so then that area has the halachic status of a bathroom, even if I never end up using it as a bathroom. That is what Hazmana means. I prepare it. So let's go with that. Let's go with that Shita now for a second. So now the question is, well, it's clear that if I prepared it as a bathroom, it is. But let's say I didn't say it all the way. I only said something that sounds like I intend it to be a bathroom, but I didn't really do it yet. So, is that, again, however, whatever the case is, as the Gemara is going to itself ask, So the case, that the question is, does yad apply? And the Gemara right away asks, hey, chidami, what would be the case that I'm not sure, that I didn't complete my sentence? If I say this room should be a bathroom, v'hadeinami, and this room also, so once again, the same as the Gemara's before, who basically nami have it? There's no question that is for sure a bathroom, because once you use the word nami, you're saying that it's the same as the other thing, and I said it over there. El kagoin, the case was d'amar v'hadein. I just say and this, v'loy amar nami, and I did not use the word nami. So the Gemara explains the question. My. So what did I mean? Hadein de Omer v'hadein nami beis hakisay. So since it's attached to the sentence before, I also mean this room to be a bathroom. I do my v'hadein. Maybe what did I mean? L'tashmi shabal makalmar. That it's. I just meant it as I'm going to use this as a room, but I didn't say necessarily use it for what. It could be for some other use, and therefore, it's, that's the question, whether it would be a yad, do I mean to make this into a bathroom? So now, by the fact that the Gemara is asking the question, whether, if there's a yad, then it would for sure be a bathroom, and all I'm doing so far is designating the room. I didn't use it at all. So the Gemara therefore points out, Michlal, from this we can interpret or realize or see, the pshita le ravino de yesh azimon le besakisei. So we see that to Rava, by the fact that Ravina asked this as a question whether there's a yad or not, the only shaila of yad is whether I finish my sentence, but finishing my sentence would make it clear that it is a bathroom. And that would mean that he holds that just designating it as a bathroom has the halachic status of a bathroom. But the problem is, Vaha mi boile le Ravina. Ravina himself asked that as a question whether the designation really makes a difference in the first place. He asks, designating a room as a bathroom, does it make a difference? Or designating it as a bathhouse, does that make a difference? Zeman Moyle or ain't Zeman Moyle? And he asks, does the fact that I designate it make a difference in the world? So why is Ravina even asking this question over here? We don't even know that he holds that the designation makes a difference. So the Gemara answers, you're right. It's Ravina Chodem Igoi Chodekom Iboyle. He's asking one question on top of the other question. So the first question is, Zeman Moyle or ain't Zeman Moyle? The first question is, does a designation really count at all? Im tim tzoloyme yesh Zeman, but if you tell me that it does count, yesh yad or yen yad? Tiboyle. So then, or leave out the word tiboyle, but yesh yad or yen yad, what he's saying is, if designation does work, does a half a sentence designation work? Again, only, obviously, if a designation doesn't work, there's nothing to talk about, it doesn't make a difference. But even if a designation does work, and I didn't finish my sentence, does that half a sentence count as a designation to the degree that a designation works? So, the Gemara then comes out. So the Gemara, as you notice, on all these questions, again, Kedushin, Peah, Tzedakah, Hefker, and Beis HaKisei, five questions, the Gemara never answers the question outright whether or not we say that there's a yad or not. So again, so the Rambam brings that the Rambam famously always paskens like an imtim soloimer, meaning any time the Gemara sets it up where there's two possibilities, and then the Gemara's next question is based on the fact that if you answer the question one way, then I have the next level question. So the Rambam, as a general rule, always paskens like an imtim soloimer. So therefore says the Rambam l'shitasoi will pasken over here in all these halochas that we go l'chumra, since it's a suffix d'araisa, we're going to go l'chumra. And therefore, specifically, let's talk about tzedakah. We can talk about payah also, but let's talk about tzedakah. In the case of tzedakah, so I have a question. I said this money, and I didn't say what it's going to be used for. So if it's a suffik, daraisa l'chumra. So the Rambam is going to paskin, by Yisura, we go l'chumra, and you're going to have to give that money to tzedakah. That's how the Ram brings it, apparently, and he brings the Rajba and the Ramban, also hold like that it is, we go l'chumra. However, the Ran argues on all of those shitas and says, when it comes to a shaila of tzedakah, it's not a shaila of iser, it's not an iser v'heter, it's a shaila of moment. If I didn't fulfill my promise, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come to Bezin and try to be tadeyami. Now we know the general rule by mamoin is, hamaytzim mechaber olavaraya, which means if it's a suffik, we cannot take the money away from him, so we see by mamon we go lakula. So interestingly, the Ran argues on all the other rishonim, and says that by the suffik yad over here, by tzedakah and by peah and by hefker, which are monetary issues, which are mamon, shaila of mamon, he's going to say the suffix over here, we go lakula. He also happens to point out by the Beis HaKisei, which is a zimun, whether the suffix over here, we also go lakula. He thinks that all the Rishonim would agree with him because that is only derabbanon. And we know, of course, the general rule is suffix derabbanon, we always go lakula. So since the Gemara never answered the question, and Zimun, so that's one way to learn it. The Chassam Sofer says it's actually a Sfek Sveka, a suffix whether or not Zimun is a thing anyway, which, by the way, the Gemara never answered. And then even if it is a thing, then we have a second suffix whether there's a Yad or not. So it's a Sfek Sveka, so we're going to go Lekula. So, but whereas, just to put things in contrast, whereas by Kedushin, if you go over to a woman and say the Hadain, and you say this one, va'at, and you stop the sentence over there, where it's a suffix whether you're married or kedushin or not, there we will go l'chumro, because that, all the Rishonim learn suffix yisurah de'araisa l'chumro. So that's how the Ran learns this sugya. The next part of the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. It's quoting Menuda Ani Lecha, where the last line of the Mishnah was, if a person says, Menuda Ani Lecha, choychech Rabbi Akiva l'hachmer. Rabbi Akiva wanted to say, yeah, over there also I'm going to take it seriously, and it's going to be considered a neder that you have to keep, that you have to stay away from that person. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said. So on that comment, so Amar Abaya, Moide Rabbi Akiva Lein Malkus She'en Eloika. So by the way Rabbi Akiva frames this and states this, that he says, I'm Chuychech Lahachmer, that sounds like Misafik, I am going to move in the direction of. There's two different pshatim in what the word choychech means, but basically I'm going to be machmer that I'm going to consider it a neder. But if I'm doing it as a chumro, you're not going to give, if the person violates that neder, since the only reason why it's a neder in the first place is just because misafik we go to chumro, that's, you're not going to get malchus, and that's what Abaya says. But, he's trying to say that even Rabbi Akiva, when he says I'm going to be machmer, he's only being machmer as a chumro, and not as a din. And therefore, he says, "My dear Rabbi Akiva, in your malchus, and loika, he's not going to get malchus." Dim came because if he meant that he was going to get even malchus, nisni Rabbi Akiva machmer. You should just say it like straight out. The Rabbi Akiva is machmer and considers this a real neder. But the fact that he didn't say, "I consider it a real neder," rather he says, "Chichich lahachmer." I'm leaning in that direction. So leaning in that direction is even misafik. I just don't want to let it go. But I'm not really. I don't really think it's a real din. That is the way Abaya sees that. So based on that, Amar Rapapa says, well, if that's the case, benidna minach, if I use the word nidna, I want to stay away from you. Nidna, the word nad means to move. So I'm staying away from you. Dekuli amaloi pligi de osur. Then everybody agrees that is a real nether that the person means to say, I want to stay away from you, and you must listen to that nether. However, Misham tona minoch, if I use the word, now to be put in shamta, we again, we're not so medayik in our words, so we use the word shamta to also mean putting in chayrim, but it's the same, but the way the Gemara sees this word mishamta is a very specific, it is the term of chayrim. It's not, the best way I could explain this is to say, mishamtona is not a verb, it's a statement, it's a matter of fact. So when I say Misham Tana Minach, mean I am staying away from you as if you're in Cherim, that's not really a nether. It's not an acceptance upon yourself to do something. It's just a statement of fact. If that's a statement of fact, the Kulei Alma Shari. So Reb Papa wants to say, then everybody will agree that Mutter, it's not a real nether. I didn't phrase it in the right terminology, in the right structure of it being a nether. So it's not going to be a nether. Okay? So the Chiddush of Reb Papa is Misham Tana Minach, is even though nidno mimcha mishamtan mimcha would theoretically accomplish the same thing, but the way I phrase it, if I use the word that's a fact instead of an action, so then it's not going to, that's not going to create a nether out of that. Now, for my pligi, what's the difference between the two? So, meaning, what right? So, what a Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim arguing about whether or not we should be machmir in this lashon. So they go now on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. They argue as follows. But Menuda Nilcha, they only argue, meaning Rabbi Akiva, when he said his halacha in the Mishnah, he only argues in this case of Menuda Nilcha. The Rabbi Akiva, so Avar Lishna de Niduyehu. It's a lashon of movement. I'm staying away, a separation. even if it also includes cherim, but the point is I'm staying away from you. And therefore, if I say that, that's a thing that I can do. So that's a real neder. Rabbanan Savri Lishna Dimisham Tonahu. The Rabbanan hold no, even the Lashon of Niduya also means I want to categorize you as in cherim. And that I don't have the power to do. And that's why, according to the Rabbanan, even the words Niduya or Menuda Nilucha is not even going to count. According to the Rabbanan, it's not even a suffix. We don't even have to be Machmer. They're totally Mekel. It's not something, that's not a real Neder, and I can't, it's not the way people talk, and therefore, that's not even a Neder. You don't have to be Machmer at all. That is the way Rapapa explains Rabbi Kiva Shita, and therefore the Machlekes between the Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan. However, the Gemara says, there's a pliga to Rav Chista. Rav Chista doesn't agree with Rav Papa's interpretation or understanding of what Rabbi Akiva and our Mishnah said. And based on a story, the Hu Gavra, there was a guy, the Amar Mishan Tana Benichsei Debrei Rav Yirmiyah Baraba. There was a story happened. A guy said, he used the word Misham Tanav, which we already said, according to Rav Papa, we said that those were, that's not a real neder, that's not a real word. It's not the way we talk. But this guy did, he said, I'm doing a cherim in the property of the son of Rav Yirmiyah Baraba. So he said those words, now we need to know what's the halacha. So again, according to Rav Papa, it would be nothing. Also the comment of Rav Chista, but we came to Rav Chista, Amar Lei, lest the chosh lahada Rabbi Akiva. He says, no, don't worry about it. Why? Because we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, meaning that Rabbi Akiva would be machmir, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, so don't worry about it. Why? Why would he say that Rabbi Akiva holds you should worry about it? Because he holds that Rabbi Akiva, even though he used the words Menuda in the Mishnah, but basically Menuda and Mishamta really mean the same thing. So he picked one. But there's no difference according to the way Rav Chista understood what Rabbi Akiva said, even though nobody argues on what Rabbi Akiva actually said. He did say the word Menuda. There's no argument there. The only question is, does the word Menuda mean specifically the word Menuda, the way Rav Papa understands it, or Rav Chista understood, no, Menuda was just an example. Shamta and Menuda are the same thing, and Rabbi Akiva argues in that case also. However, Rav Chista, lahalacha, there's not going to be enough gamina, because lahalacha, Rav Chista doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva Shita. Because the general rule is, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva mechavei roi, veloi mechavei rov. We don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva when he's arguing on a rabbin. And over here, the Rabbanan hold that even Menuda is nothing, and Mishamta is also the same thing. It's the same Achleikas, but again, the result will be, since we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Akiva, Lahaloch, or Rav Chista rather. Lahaloch was able to say, don't worry about it, there's nothing, we don't have to be machmer over here. But again, it's just a subtle Machleikas between Rav Chista and Rav Papa in interpreting whether Rabbi Akiva was specific with the word Menudo, or it just meant anything like Menudo, which would have included Mishamta as well. Alright, once we're talking about Nidoy, so the Gemara goes off on a little side topic. So Amar Rabbi Yilo, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, Nadua Bifonov, if Bezdin puts somebody into Cherim, in front of him while he's standing there, Ein Matir Lo Ela Bifonov. You cannot be matir this person unless he's also in front of you. The way the Ran explains is because we're choshish that he doesn't know about it. So if you did it in front of him, you have to undo it in front of him. No do a shaloi befanov, but if they put him into cherim without him even knowing about it when he wasn't there, matir ben befanov, ben shaloi befanov, then you do not need him to be there when they undo the cherim. That is the chiddush of, but the point is that if you first put him into nidoi, in front of Bezdin, then he has to be in front of the person, the people, the Bezdin, that put him into Cherim to undo it. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav, Hashemeya Askaras Hashem Mipicha Veiroi, somebody who hears somebody else using Hashem's name, obviously in vain, Levatola, Sarach Lenadoi Soi, the person who hears it should immediately be Moicha and put him, the transgressor, the one who said it, into Cherim. And if you don't put him into cherim, he himself will be a nidoy. Now, the Mefarshim will explain that it doesn't mean he is not automatically in nidoy, because that would make the person who hears it worse off than the person who actually said it. Because the person who said it, we said you have to put him into cherim. So obviously it doesn't mean that you're automatically in nidoy. You should put yourself into cherim. Why? Shekol mokom she'askaras Hashem mitzuya. Anytime you see that Hashem's name is used, levatol shom mitzuya shom. Whenever you say it over there, anias mitzuya. That's where we see poor and poorness. The person brings about poverty. Right. Va'ania is kemisa, and poverty is the equivalent of the same, has the same similarities to death. Shenemar kimesu kol anoshim, all the people died. This is talking about by Moshe Rabbeinu when he came back to Mitzrayim after he killed the Mitzri, that says that everybody died, so they didn't report him back to Paroi. And over there it's referring, the way the Mepharshim explain, and this is what the Gemara over here is alluding to, it's referring to Dathan and Abiram, who really got Moshe Rabbeinu into trouble in the first place, so they wanted to report Moshe Rabbeinu over here as well. But the problem was that they became poor, so now, especially, again, we can't relate to this society, but in the society where if you're not, you don't have any money, you have no clout whatsoever, so they weren't able to report Moshe Rabbeinu's return to Mitzrayim. Why? Because the pasuk says kimesu, they died. Now they didn't actually die, because we know very clearly they didn't die, because they were still they were part of the Maisa Koirach when they went into the Midbar. So they were still alive, but still the Torah refers to them as mesu, as they died, so we see that the fact that they didn't have any money is because that's similar to death. Betanya, and we also, and that's from a pasuk standpoint, we also have from a brisa, kamokam shenosnu chachamim einayim, anytime the chachamim put their eyes on somebody because they were angry at them, oy misa oy oyni, either they died, literally died, or they became very poor and they went down from their riches. So again, we see that. So two things the Gemara is saying. First of all, you shouldn't let Shem Hashem go unchallenged. It brings about poverty, which is no good, and then poverty is the same as death. So it's not actual death, but it has the equivalency of death in some respects. Amar Rabbi Abba, Have Ka'amina Kameh de Rav Huna. I was once standing in front of Rav Huna, Shama Lahach Itzasa, and I heard this woman, the Afka Askar Hashem Levatola. And a woman went ahead and said Hashem's name inappropriately, for no reason, Shamta. So Rav Huna put her into Chayrim. And immediately he said, you're a cherim, and then right away immediately turned around and said, okay, but you're not a cherim anymore. That's the story. So the Gemara says, Shema Mino Tlas, we learn three things from this quick story. Shema Mino Hashem Eskaras Hashem Epi Chaver, if you hear somebody using Hashem's name in vain, you have to put him into cherim, similar to what we just said before. So we see that Rav Huna immediately put her into cherim. Shema Mino Niduhu Befanav Ein Matirin Loi Ela Befanav, and we see also similarly that right away he told her, I'm taking you out of cherim. So we see that since he put her into cherim in front of her, he had to right away turn around in front of her and say, you're out. And also we see this whole idea that putting them into chayrim can be done immediately. There doesn't need to be a time lapse. There's no minimum amount that once you put somebody into chayrim, you have to be in chayrim for any amount of time. You're allowed to undo it immediately. Okay, so those are the three things that we learn from the story. Similarly, the Gemara finishes off and says, Amar Abgido Amar Rav, Tamachochem, Menada La'atzmai, Umefer La'atzmai. Tamachochem, if he feels that he's not behaving properly, and he deserves some punishment, is able to put himself into Chayrim. But he's also, the Chiddush is that he's able to take himself out of the Chayrim. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why not? Usually the rule is whoever puts you into Chayrim can take you out of Chayrim. So just because he's a Talmud Chacham, if he put himself into Chayrim, it should be obvious that he should be able to take himself out of Chayrim. To which the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Because Ma'al Yitzhayim, I would have thought, Ein Chavish Matar Atzmai Mebeis Asurim. Normally a person who is trapped in jail is not able to get himself out of jail. Kamash Malon, that he is, that even though, you're right, again, normally the rule is the one who put him into Chayrim has to be the one to take him out of Chayrim, and maybe if it's myself, it should be obvious that I can take myself out of Chayrim. But the Chiddush is that, yes, when it comes to yourself, even if you put yourself in jail, once you're trapped, you usually are not able to untrap yourself. So Kamash Malon, that's not the problem over here. He can take himself out of Chayrim. Hechidami, what would be an instance where a person would put themselves into chayrim and take them out of the chayrim? Ki ha de mar zutra chasida, there was mar zutra who was a chassid. Ki mechayev bar bei rav shamto, when there was another student in the yeshiva who deserved to be put in chayim because they weren't behaving, and he wanted to make a point. First he would put himself into chayim, and then he would put the student into chayim also, because he didn't want to start up with the person. But if he put himself into chayim first, he was able to say, listen, it's inappropriate, you need to, this type of action goes into chayim. However, but before he went into his house, he would undo itself, and then he would undo the Talmud. So there's a lot of interesting points over here. The reason why he did this was, for some say that he did this so that he wanted to put this person, this student, into chayim, but he was afraid that he might put him into chayim and then forget to take him out of chayim. So he put himself into chayim. So once, obviously he's not going to forget that he himself is the chayim. So once he's matur himself, then he's going to remember to be matur this other student as well. Now the question is, why was he matur himself before he went into the house? So the Ran says, from here you could be medayik, that, at least he brings the first shita that says, that you could be medayik, that even, that the family members, if a person is a chayim, even the family members are chayiv to treat him in chayim. Now, there are special halachas, which we're not going to go through all these halachas, but the basic halacha that's relevant over here is that when a person is in chayim, he's not supposed to be within dalet amos of anybody. So he has to stay literally by himself. So the question is, if it applies to his wife, then obviously his wife can't get close to him. Even his own wife can't get close to him. So the fact, the Rajba wants to say, the fact that he took himself out of chayim before he walked into his house is because he didn't want his wife to have to go through the tircha of not being able to get close to him, so he undid it before he walked into the house. However, the Ravid argues, and the Ravid says that no, a wife is not part of that rule, that even though everybody else has to treat him in chayim and stay away from him, a person's wife, ishta kegufoy, a person's wife is like himself, so they, as a couple, they are now separated from everybody else, but she doesn't have to stay away necessarily from her husband. The Ran disagrees with the Ravid because he says the raya, the proof that the Ravid brings, is not necessarily a good proof, because there could be a case where the person can be a chayrim and still be mutter to be with his wife if his chayrim only applies in a certain area, in another city. So he's a chayrim in another city, and over there he's a full-fledged in chayrim, and his wife would have to stay away from him. But in a different city where he's not a chayrim, there, that would be the case where the wife can be with him, because the chayrim doesn't really apply in the other city, so he might technically be in chayrim, but his wife doesn't have to stay away from him because they're in a different city. In any event, it comes out of machlokes based on this story over here, whether a person in chayrim does that chayrim apply to their own family members, to his wife, or do we make an exception for the wife because we say ishtoi kegufoy. Okay, we'll stop over here.